This is our pre-show for today, the Thursday, the 5th, 6th, 9th, 10th. What is this? Okay. So welcome. And back from 3 days of very fun work there on Playing House, where I played yet again Chief McGrath. That's why you're seeing a mustache here. I got to shave this fucker off, so tomorrow I'll be back clean shaven, and I'll look really weirder than I actually do now. That was a lot of fun. It's great to see those guys, and they're wonderful people, and they love having me there. So I'm you know, happy to be there. And it is what it is, baby. It is what it is, baby. Let me see here. What's happening? I'm watching Barcelona and Munich in the Champions League. The Champions League. I don't give a fuck. I guess it means something to be the champion of Europe when all the countries are so small, you know, and everybody's battling each other for the European thing. But But you know what? It's important for the British, I think, especially it's important for the English, because their league, the Premier League, has suddenly come under fire because there have been players, there have been, you know, English commentators who have said that the Premier League is nowhere, they're not even the top league, they're not even the second best league, they're like the third or the fourth, they say they're third, they're third behind Spain and Germany, which probably is true because, you know, Spain has Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Germany has Bayern Munich, and some other really good teams. So anyway, so whatever the fuck, it's the game's on, that's why I'm commenting on it. The other thing that's really cool today is that TCM is featuring Sterling Hayden. Sterling Hayden's great. He's a great actor. If you younger generations will probably remember him, if you remember him at all, you may remember him as the police captain in the original Godfather who broke Michael's jaw with the right, with the punch. I ordered them guys out of here, see? You know, and then before that, he is known to, you know, my general, well, maybe even younger people. If you watch Dr. Strangelove, he was General Jack Ripper. I can no longer abide communist infiltration, you know, and the fluoride and the purification of our precious bodily fluids. So he's, but when he was younger, Sterling Hayden played in a lot of very, very, really historic film noir films, one of which was Asphalt Jungle. It's a fucking badass movie. One of the great film noir epic pictures. If you haven't seen it, you got to watch it. And he was also in The Killing, which is another unbelievable film, a Kubrick, Stanley Kubrick movie. Asphalt Jungle was John Huston. Sterling Hayden was also in, God damn it, I'm trying to think. There's a lot of Westerns. Johnny Guitar is a really cool one that he was in. With Mercedes McCambridge and Joan Crawford battling over his affections. He was a very handsome young actor. He was also in one of my favorite movies called Suddenly. It's a movie about, made in 1954, and he is the sheriff of a small town in Arizona. I think there's a town in Arizona called What's Up or some shit. Is there a town in Arizona? It's sort of loosely based on a small town in Arizona. It's called Suddenly, Arizona, but the movie's called Suddenly. And it's about this man, a small-town sheriff played by Sterling Hayden, who suddenly, in his town, these men, three men, are going to assassinate the president of the United States, who is due to arrive in this town on a train that afternoon. And it's, of course, nowadays we wouldn't recognize the security precautions, but back then, in the movie at least, they would have you believe that he gets a telegram that day. President of the United States is on his way there. Secret Service will meet you. They'll brief you while the train is en route. And so it's the story of how this guy, this sheriff in this small town, is tasked with, you know, defending this president. And these three guys drop in out of nowhere, led by Frank Sinatra. He plays the lead assassin. It's an awesome movie. Sinatra plays a bad guy, you know, he's great at it too. And he's a war veteran, as is Sterling Hayden. And there's a subtext in this movie having to do with gun control, believe it or not. Very, very early film dealing with gun control. The mother of this little boy, who is also the love interest of Sterling Hayden, and she's also the daughter of a prominent citizen in Suddenly, who used to be a Secret Service agent. So it's all kind of tied together. But she doesn't want him playing with guns because her late husband, the boy's father, was killed in the war. And guns, violence, all that shit, no way. And it probably holds her back from, you know, giving her love and her affection 100% to this very decent man, played by Sterling Hayden, who nonetheless says, you know, Susie, he's got to learn about guns, because if he doesn't, then there's got to be another war to fight. You know, it's the only way to stop evil people, all this stuff. And what's cool about it is, though, that here comes Sinatra. I did a lot of chopping in the war. A lot of chopping. You know, he's got this fucking gun, and he looks at Hayden at a point, because what happens is he takes this family hostage, Frank Sinatra and his cronies, to have a prime spot in the window there of this house that just happens to be overlooking the rail station where they can, you know, kill the president if he gets off this train. So, you know, Sterling Hayden has this in the back of his mind as he's a hostage of this guy. He says, you in the army? How'd you do, man? He says, I got by. You know, I bet you killed your fair share of, you know, whatever, enemy guys. He says, yeah, I did. But some guys liked it, you know, guys like you. And so you're set up with the notion, the idea that, you know, obviously Sinatra plays quite a psychopath. In fact, I think he even says in the movie, he says, that's when he did his best in life. The high point of his life was the army and the war, where he was able to kill at will almost, and, you know, got medals for that shit. So it's a really interesting movie. It's the first of its kind in dealing with this kind of larger social threat, you know, and larger political threat. I never saw a movie done as well up to that point. I mean, afterwards, we've had a million political thrillers of varying stripes, but Suddenly was the first of its kind to look at the larger issue, if you will, of a president's safety of the United States in the context of a small family, a small town, and the relationships therein. So anyway, I would recommend it. I think it's going to be on later on here on tonight on TCM. All right, now where the fuck are we? Got some things I got to do. All the leaves are green, 'cause the air is good. We're going to have on tonight Dr. Ed Elcott. There you have this is the game that I was watching. Actually, what I had to do? I was going to say, I'll put the TCM thing up there, but now what am I doing, man? Woolly bully. California. Ooh. Woman sneaks into a funeral home, defaces the corpse of a boyfriend's dead ex. Wow. Wow. All right, Margaret Gray has made a... Yeah. Let's see. Thank you very much. All right. Kind of a whack story, man. Where are we at here, man? What do you mean all? All the leaves are sort of a brick shade. All the leaves are brick shaded. This movie, you got to see Asphalt Jungle. It stars Sam Jaffe. Sam Jaffe, after this movie, well, actually, before this movie, Sam Jaffe had a huge career in films. He plays a fucking career criminal who's just out of prison, very businesslike, smoking a cigar, okay? Has his little briefcase, and he just, you know, kind of heads up this gang. And while the whole heist is taking place, there's Sam Jaffe wearing the gloves with the cigar and the hat, and very good, you know? Sam Jaffe went on to become a star on television as Dr. Zorba on the old Ben Casey series. But Sam Jaffe, before that, in fact, as early as the 30s, he had a major starring role in Lost Horizon, which is the movie about the people who get, I think the plane gets hijacked that they're on, and they land in this very, very remote part of southern Asia, where they find their way through the Himalayas, and eventually they land. They walk into this valley that is an absolute oasis of beauty and even mystical things. Shangri-La. They find Shangri-La. So it's a place where you don't age. It's a place where things are perfect. It's a place. You know, Dalai Lama lives there. Some other kind of weird Dalai Lama. I don't know. You know. And Sam Jaffe plays the Dalai Lama, you know. It's way out there, baby. It's way out there, baby. Oh, yeah. And then there's a cat that's also in that thing, Warner Baxter. Is he in that fucking... Why are you looking at me? What do you mean Warner Baxter? Warner Baxter was a... I don't know. All right. All the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray.
I'm Phil right now here in the downtown area of Southern California. And, how's it looking for you, Phil?
I don't know, but you suck ass. I don't know. It's fine.
Okay, Phil. Love the tapes. There's a phone there. That's got Bob Bacon traffic. Bob Bacon traffic. Wait a minute, man. Bob Bacon, traffic. Well, Phil, I'll tell you, there we go. Well, I'll tell you, Phil, right here, you know what I should do is just compress the shit out of this. That's what we need. Well, Phil, I can tell you right now, the Bob Bacon traffic, we're just compressing everything. See, that sounds better.
Testing, all right, let's go to Bob Bacon now, and let's go to Bob Bacon and traffic. Bob?
All right, Phil, here in the downtown area.
That actually might work. I just compressed the living motherfucker. Actually, I didn't compress so much as I increased the gate.
Phil, I tell you, this thing was good.
And I think that's the other thing I need to do with these goddamn phone calls.
Well, I'll reach.
Not the phone. Yeah, the phone calls.
You know, it's quite a you know, it's quite an interesting thing that you're talking about, Phil. Because I wouldn't do that if I were you. No. What happened to this? What is this now? No. Let me tell you, Phil. And there are more things in heaven and earth than even you can guess at. And Phil, there's more things in heaven and earth than a chump change motherfucker like you can even guess at. And I will tell you, chump change motherfucker. Yeah, that low end of that phone just is not working for me, motherfucker. Phil, there are better things. I'm big in here right now, Phil, and right here on the downtown Bow Town. Test. Bob Bacon here, Phil, here in downtown, Los Angeles. Well, I'll tell you, Phil, I'll tell you right now, Phil, we got a downtown area that's going to be filled with...
See, that's the... how's it looking now, Bob?
Well, Phil, right now, the downtown area of the L.A. downtown, bottom, back, 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 back,
back, fuck it, man. Fuck it. Testing. Testing. Yeah, all right. Don't fuck with that. Do that. Don't do that. Hi, it's Phil Henry, and... Hi, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is back, badder, more bitchin' than ever before. More bitchin'. Shit, Hi, Phil Henry here, and Hi, Phil Henry here. Do that. Now watch this. Hi, Phil Henry here for... Oh, that's terrible. Test. Testing. Hi, it's Phil Henry for Monkey See, Monkey Do, Shine Products. Hi. Keeps fucking, you know, you can't go fucking with a man's board, man. You can't do that shit. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You cannot touch a man's thing, okay, without big fucking consequences happening. Test 1, 2. Test 1, 2. That's a compression there. Test. And Dr. Elcott, how are you?
Oh, Phil, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on your program. Phil, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on the program. Well, Phil, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on your program. And certainly is great, and certainly is really. Well, Phil, I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. I'm having a great time. Phil, I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking.
All right, now. Let's talk about sound effects. Hey. What's this? Wait a minute. Wait. Test.
Well, Phil, I'm doing very well right now. We're flying about 25,000 feet. Well, Phil, I'm doing very well. Thank you. And very great to be with you. I hope that I can be of some assistance in these matters that are now currently pressing before you.
What matters are pressing?
I don't know. I was told that there... Well, I don't know, General. I was told that there were some that...
See, Ed Elcott, for those of you who probably are asking the question, Ed Elcott, I don't know if you are or not, but there's some people may. Ed Elcott is the way General Shaw originally sounded. When I first introduced General Galen Shaw, he was very refined. Maybe he was younger, and now he sounds, you know, a lot more like Lloyd. You're right. The thing with Lloyd is, Lloyd could probably have become the in-studio guy and not General Shaw, but... General Shaw presented an opportunity character-wise to introduce political elements because he was in the military. And General Shaw and Lloyd shared... Now, General Shaw originally was a liberal. He was sort of like a Wesley Clark. But I changed him over to a more traditional conservative because I think the audience would relate better to that. And overall, the general became an object of, you know, respect. Otherwise, Lloyd's just this guy... He could have been, you know, Lloyd's a guy who's a Korean War veteran, but Lloyd being a Korean War veteran locks him into a time and into a place that means he's getting older. I know that the general is a Vietnam veteran, but there's a lot of years that are afforded us between the time, you know, now and the time General Shaw becomes too fucking old. And we'll probably take that voice then and give it to an Iraq War veteran. If I won't even be fucking around, so what do I give a shit, you know? I won't even be fucking around, and I won't be fucking around. All right. Testing 1, 2. Idaho Sewer, ready to go? Not really? Okay. There we go, helicopter. General, we got... God, I love this fucking motorcycle. I gotta get the motorcycle back on here, man. I just fucking love the motorcycle. I'm gonna, Dr. Ed Elcott. Here we go.
Well, good day to you, Phil. We are from the Redeemery here in Wampanoag, New York. We're going to be celebrating the one-year anniversary of opening up, pardon me, a little bit nervous, but I've also got a plugged up nose. They spent most of the day here at the Redeemery, and I have an allergy, Phil, to certain kinds of lubricant. That was used on me last evening by one of our spiritual, by members of our female clergy, otherwise known as the Duds. These are not nuns, but they are Duds. D-U-N-S. And that is Ed Elcott. They are Eon. They're Uns. They are neither a nun nor are they Dun. They're Un. We thought that that was right, the Uns. And the Uns are our spiritual female lay organization. They're allowed to have the manual contact with us for sexual purposes. But what if it lives to lubricate on me?
Oh, boy. That's... All right. Ah, fuck. All right, man. Here we go. Oh, shut up.
Ed, hello, Phil. Great to be with you. And we're here at the Redeemery. And right now we're having, you hear in the background, Phil, well, there was a lubricant used. And I wanted to tell people, there was a lubricant used last evening. This kid with a KFC.
Oh, boy. All right, we're ready to go, man. And I don't know that, I don't think I've ever been readier for anything in my goddamn life, to be honest with you, than this show here tonight. I don't know. All right. Testing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.